Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Tonight we will be doing the Gravity Falls Season 2, Episode 2 review.
I don't know what I'm doing here anymore. Introduce yourself, Petition.
I liked how the music overpowered you in a way that made you think I should have tried this before I did it live. Hi, I'm Petition.
Actually, I didn't know what to do. I either made it really, really loud or really, really, quiet. I didn't know what to do.
I can still hear the background, just like trying to sneak its way into the conversation.
I would like to add that this is 9 minutes long, and we're going to talk until this ends.
Can you bring it down a notch?
For me, I didn't. Here's the thing. For me, on the phone that I'm currently on, it doesn't sound like it's very loud. It actually sounds very low right now. So to you, it may sound louder. You know, sounds may sound louder than they appear. Anyway, so
it
yes,
just
today,
sounds terribly unfitting.
What do you mean? No, I feel as if because we're doing Gravity Falls, a late night episode. By the way, this is those guys, if you haven't heard it before, Matt Marrero. And I feel as if this is very fitting, especially the beginning of the episode started off with a zombie movie.
Actually, it wasn't a zombie movie, Matt. They were almost dead, but not quite.
Yes. He said it right into the boom mic. Who is it? Chadley? Yeah, Chadley said it right into the boom mic. And then there was Chicandra.
I am getting my face eaten a lot.
Yeah, it don't look so good now, do you, Chadley? It was great.
Gravity Falls Public Television, as the shorts and the show has shown us, it seems to have a very, very bad reputation.
It does, and what's amazing is that it reminds me of actual... See, that's the reason why I love the show Gravity Falls. Alex Hirsch just picks everything from, real-life scenarios, so that the kids are laughing because they think it's so outlandish, and then the adults are laughing because that's actually how, public access television is.
Is that really what access television is like?
Yes. Because the thing is, think about it. I mean, they don't really air those kind of movies, so I don't know why he's going for the movie route, but I will say that, yes, it sounds very low, but it would be like if you and I got ourselves a TV show, in your basement. You know what I mean?
I feel like it would be a lot like Wayne's World.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So they didn't have high production value. Think of it like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. Ghost Turtle. My mummy's a vampire. My mummy's a vampire, too. This again.
What's beautiful about this is I was watching this episode with Ashley Colpan, who's been on, some SmackDown shows with us, some pay-per-views, Total Divas, even the recent show we did on Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods with myself and Tristan Walter. She was on, and it was a really nice show. Definitely check that out. Anyway, point is that I always mess around with her. So let's say we're watching another Freddy movie, right? Another Nightmare on Elm Street. I'll go, hey, look, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, the Freddying, just this shit again. The fact that they actually said that was, I feel like they resonate with me, It feels nice. Like when we do our Monday Night Raw, podcast, which, sorry, we're not doing one tonight, but don't worry, we're doing one tomorrow. Anyway, point is, usually when we do those and we see that on television they're actually doing things that we've mentioned on the show before, we think, are they watching us? So, Alex Hirsch, do you watch me in my free time? Because I have a lot of cool ideas.
Do you think we're going to have people calling in thinking this is a Monday Night Podcast without listening?
I pray, actually. I might take some time to pray to that, because that would be wonderful. If you want to call in and talk about Gravity Falls, because you are listening, definitely
Season 2,
call
Episode
in. Number,
2.
Yeah, Season 2, Episode 2. The number is 718-664-9468. The number again being 718-664-9468. And the song is still going, by the way. I would like to mention, by the way, this is the song from the first Dracula film from 1931. I want to put that out there. This is the song that I literally was thinking, I want this song, but all I know is Count Dracula song. That's all I knew. And I was able to find it. Thank you, YouTube. You're wonderful.
I am eagerly awaiting the ending of this song.
It comes out of nowhere, like vampires. So now you might be thinking, well, you know, they're doing this show tonight. Obviously, you know, Matt couldn't, I couldn't see the Monday Night Raw tonight. But why are you doing episode 2 tonight when episode 3 aired tonight? Well, here's the funny thing. Episode 3 did and did not air tonight in a strange turn of events. With the airing of Gravity Falls this season, for some reason they're airing it both on the Disney Channel and on Disney XD. So Disney XD, as the Fish mentioned to me before the show, which I do have, is a package that not even a lot of people have, strangely enough. So
yeah, I would say not a lot of people, but it's not as easily accessible as Disney. That's the first thing off the bat. You know, so moving it down, and it's not Disney Channel, because even the people who have it are just like, it's not Disney Channel. You know, so immediately a drop from Disney Channel to Disney XD is a problem, but go on.
Yes, and also, by the way, yes, because Disney XD usually airs the more, what they would consider the quote-unquote boy shows, if you will. Some of the more, like, you know, the Marvel shows, you know, when Naruto Shippuden was on there, which still might be, I'm not even sure. You know, things like that, that are more geared towards quote-unquote boys, they would air in XD. And what they're doing is, I think, to promote XD, they're airing some of the Gravity Falls episodes on there first, strangely enough. So we got to see, you know, we did our Gravity Falls episode, the first episode of Season 2, pretty much when it happened, because it aired on Disney Channel August 1st. And, you know, and we did it the next day. However, on Disney XD, it aired it on the 4th when we were doing our Monday Night Raw episode, which was strange because one of our normal callers, Daniel, was saying, oh, I'm watching, you know, the newest episode. And we thought, okay, Daniel, good for you. You're watching a repeat. No, he was watching the second episode, which did air on August 4th. You know, and it did air again on the 8th, which was, yes, a Friday as well, but it's still strange how they seem to be trying to push XD as the channel that gets them first. Same thing with the Gulf War. The Gulf War just aired today on XD. And we will hopefully be doing, you know, a show on that either sometime this week or sometime next week. But, you know, it's strangely enough, the gap is huge this time. Because on the 11th today, right, it was on XD. It's going to be on the 22nd, which is next Friday, on, you know, on Disney Channel. Which is upsetting, I think, only because now we only have those as the first three listed episodes. Where are we going from here? Which worries me. Wow, that was oddly timed.
That was worth it. That made the entire 9-minute clip worth it. Where are we going from here? I don't know. I'm sorry, music. I didn't mean to insult you. Don't ruin Gravity Falls for me. Oh, God, I'm dead.
I have to stop. Okay. Where are we going from here? I don't know. I was saying it only because I'm nervous because, you know, shows like this. I mean, hell, you even look at a show like Steven Universe, and they still have not aired this series, the season finale. Which makes me wondering.
Me off, by the way, because I got really into the show.
Yes. And it makes me wonder, is it the season or the series finale? You know, it makes me nervous.
It can't be the series finale, because that show had so much potential and, like, places to go. And same thing with Gravity Falls. You know, for a while we didn't know Season 2 when it was going to come. Now that we've got it, it's a matter of this being the second episode. They hit hard coming off the bat. You know, I mentioned in the first episode podcast, because I had seen the second one at the time, that they hit hard. They came in with a really cool episode, and one that I thought was really cool, Nightmare Fuel. I shouldn't have watched at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I rather enjoyed it.
Yes. I feel the same. Oh, no, it's done. All right, we have to be serious now. So, yes, I feel that the episode was
I'm scared
quite,
that it ended as I finished talking. It's doing,
was,
it's like messing with
was,
me.
Who was quite shallow and pedantic. No, the way, honestly, I was wondering if I should get more scary, you know, frightening music. And I didn't know what would be considered,
you
know,
get their
scary
soundtrack from this season, because they've stepped it up again.
That's true. I mean, I was wondering, it's like, you know, it's like, what is considered truly frightening? And I was wondering
that
what,
at the end of any pay-per-view.
Basically. But anyway, moving forward, you know, actually with the topic at hand. Yeah, they've really stepped it up this season. And, I mean, there are a lot of things that they've, in this episode, they did that I thought was, I mean, completely amazing. You know, rewatching the episode before their show, I mean, it was, I mean, there was one thing that really, let's talk about the thing that kind of got me, threw me a bit off at first. Just the one thing, honestly, but with the entire episode, by the way. So this is a really good thing. Dipper kind of reverting to lists again. I don't know, like, or like kind of the whole, like, I mean, I know it's about Wendy. So obviously, like, it's hard to, you know, say, like, hey, so, like, I love you. But it felt weird because we had an entire episode dedicated to, hey, you need to be more ambitious.
I don't think it was so much, okay, it wasn't exactly a list. It was more so, like, how do I say what I want to say?
Right.
Like, you know, like a brainstorming paper? So
yeah.
That didn't actually bother me because I could tell he was sitting there thinking, like, how do I tell her that I like her? No, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work. Because he is trying to be spontaneous. Like, the fact that he wants to tell her, I think, is good.
Right. No, and I will admit, I'm not as hard as certain people. I mean, there's certain people that are really, I mean, that are nuts. I mean, I will admit, he is obviously better than, like, Steven. Steven is, like, I believe 8 years old or something where, you know, Dipper is 12. Well, no, like, sorry, what is it, 13 now? Or is he still 12? Is Dipper still 12, yes?
Yeah, because remember, in the beginning of the first episode, he says something along the lines of, it's already been halfway through the summer, and I haven't. So
right, yeah, I thought so.
He's still the same age of...
Right. Point being is that, you know, he is a bit older than, let's say, someone like Steven Universe. Yeah, I know, right? That's what I'm saying. So he does seem a bit more, like, mature than, let's say, Steven, who sad that people say, oh, Steven's always, you know, he never learns. You know, it's like, the dude's freaking a kid. What the hell's your problem? So I'm not that, like, that kind of person, because some people that are like that really, I feel like they throw me off, you know, where it's like, oh, Dipper's never learning anything. The kid's 12 and fighting monsters. What are you doing with your day?
Not being animated.
Clearly. I would assume as much anyway. Also, Wendy is perfect. Now moving on to good things. Wendy is perfect.
Yeah, no, this was really cool as in, like, I don't know how to phrase it, but Wendy got, not even character development, but just badassery. You know, because coming from this Lumberjacks family, this is a person who you would expect to be pretty tough in terms of mentally and physically athletic, and it was nice to see her break away from a generic female love interest to actually having a little importance and usefulness.
Yes, yes, and it's another, I think it's another point of people just having to wait and see, because there were a lot of people that really liked Gravity Falls when it first popped up, and then because of, you know, it being a bit filler, if you will, here and there in season one, not too much, but like enough where people can go, listen, all right, I want to see more of Grunkle Stan's basement, you know, I don't want to see these kids being children and shit, you know, stupid stuff. It's like, guys, check your, you know, whatever it is at the door, we're having fun, right? But it's nice that if you do, you see some characters really get fleshed out a lot more. And I think, you know, because Wendy was a bit more in the last season, but we, in my opinion, we only got little, like, slight references that she was part of that family. And by slight, I mean, like, yeah, you know, they come back from a family trip. She comes out of the car. She's like, yeah, it's me and my family over there. And it's like, oh, so they're related. Cool. But nothing as concrete as, oh, yeah, so obviously my dad. This guy who, you know, I mean, freaking was like, you know, punch the sea, you know, all that crazy stuff. From
by the way, which reminds me, I sobbed so hard at the, it's a lot better than cleaning up after my dad. Ow, 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 put this wall here, ow. I was sobbing. That was a 3-second clip that actually got me to laugh really hard.
Even better than that exact thing is pausing it and seeing Cabin Sweet Cabin in the background. I just sat there and I thought, this is beautiful. And I think that's something really
great.
Cool about Gravity Falls, because Gravity Falls has taught me, hey, make sure to look everywhere. Like, don't just take a scene at face value. You know,
oh,
don't
yeah,
just
I
take
have
a scene
to rewatch
and think.
Things. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. It's such an amazing thing. Anyway, getting back to more of the beginning of the episode, something also that surprised me, right, was the fact that they showed a bra. And I know it sounds silly to say that in 2014. But
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, it sounds silly. But we have to remember the context of, like, Disney Channel, and, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, we can't. But it also, you know, it's weird, because it makes you feel like there's something amiss by saying, hey, Dipper, you're on my bra. But then it also makes you think, hey, no, like, if you believe that, you know, it's wholesome for women to wear bras, if you're in that camp, like, oh, no, that's what kids know what bras are. Like, if you have a mother, I mean, like, kids, like, it's kind of silly to be like, oh, well, what's, you know, like, oh, God, if kids are thinking about bras, what's next? You know, so,
I was surprised,
yeah.
But I also kind of put it behind me quickly because in my head that's not something that needs to be discussed. It's not like he walked in and she was changing. Do you
exactly.
get what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
no,
the article
of
clothes
really.
Exists, and he was on her bed in her bedroom. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not
no,
like,
no.
you know, it randomly was – it made sense to me. Like, it just didn't bother
it
me
did.
That much.
No, that's what's really cool about it, is that, you know, again, in context, it all made sense. Nothing felt awkward or weird. What felt interesting, though, was that Disney Channel, right, is the channel. Because, I don't know,
oh,
there's,
I agree.
There's this huge stigma with Disney Channel, you know, and people need to, like, it's the weirdest thing, I think, when, and sometimes it's not negative, but sometimes it's just, again, genuine curiosity when you try to explain this show to people, and I know you've been doing it, too, explain this show to people. And then you don't tell them that it's on Disney Channel. Like, you give them this entire description, making them think that they're actually going to see, like, the sequel to Twin Peaks. And they're like, so, where do I get to watch this goodness? And you're like, so, you know that Disney Channel thing? Like,
yeah, we had this
discussion,
you and I, when I told you I was introducing a friend to it, and they were just like, it's a Disney Channel show. I'm like, don't think that. That should
yeah.
be the last thing in your head. Because
yes.
outside of Phineas and Ferb, this is the best thing that Disney Channel has allowed to produce in, like, ever. In fact, you know, arguably one of the best animated shows I've ever become involved in.
Yes, and I would like to say that's the only way, I think, to get people into it. When you mention the words Phineas and Ferb, you have to ask them, do you like Phineas and Ferb? Oh, yeah, I love it. Disney Channel has a great – good, go to Gravity. You know, because I actually got someone in, you know, I got her into the show, and I was talking to her about, you know, it, and I said, oh, it's on Disney. She goes, really? And she goes, well, I mean, I do watch Phineas and Ferb on there. I was like, perfect. Just watch Gravity. Perfect.
Yeah. And I watched Phineas and Ferb, by the way, for anyone out there listening. I love the show. I thought it was excellent. Gravity Falls just kind of, like, took me off a different route, because Gravity Falls is, like, a more darker Phineas and Ferb in a way, and
yeah.
I really like that because, I mean, I am getting a little bit older, so as much as I can laugh at Phineas and Ferb and enjoy it, because I can, the dark, like, the mystery of everything that Gravity Falls offers just appeals to me more. And it keeps me more on the edge of, because they have this plot line that's flowing, I need to see the next episode, rather than, oh, I'll see the next Phineas and Ferb when I get to it for a few laughs.
Yes, I would argue that if little things were tweaked, like the whole, you know, animation thing, if little things were tweaked about the show, it could really be shown on ABC again, just like Twin Peaks was actually on ABC. I don't know if you know that. So they
that's
could actually be shown.
Scary.
Well, that's the thing. You can. I mean, I don't think. Obviously, you know, we hear that
Alex
didn't mean. Yeah, right. I don't think Alex Hirsch, because obviously we've heard the rumors of him trying to pitch this to Cartoon Network, and I believe also to Nickelodeon, and they both
right.
said nah, no thanks, which is
yeah,
really funny.
Yeah, this doesn't
I
strike
mean,
me as something as a Nick show.
Cartoon Network,
I could have
definitely.
Seen it on Cartoon Network.
And, I mean, he's worked with Cartoon Network before. I believe he worked on Flapjack. So he's had, you know, so that's why I think he really had a chance to get it on there, but they just went, no thanks. You know, and now whoever it is, whoever, you know, said that is probably
fired.
Yeah, I would assume as much. I mean, yeah, and he probably said no because he said, I'm doing it my way no matter what. And they were like, no, thank you. You know, and it was like, and now it's just, oh, what was that, Sean? Here's your pink slip. And, the only joke, I think, that was really awkward for me in the episode, this one, in my opinion, is awkward, the internet history joke.
That was interesting to me.
That's
because
the only one that I went, excuse me.
First off, it took me a second.
Yeah.
Where I was like, huh? And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was the only one. Because the bra thing is like, no, that's natural. That's normal. You know what I mean? It's just weird for Disney, but that's fine. That internet history joke is weird for anything that, in my opinion, isn't Adult Swim.
No, but you know why it happens,
though? Say.
We're perverts.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up there. I only heard with purpose, and now I'm actually intrigued.
Yeah, it passes because we're perverts. So we assumed
yes.
that.
Here's the thing, though. Like, it's weird, though, because...
It could just be something embarrassing.
I mean, like,
we just
actually,
assume the worst.
What's funny is that, honestly, now that you mention it, I'm thinking of, what was it, Icelandic pop sensation Baba?
Yeah. Like, you know, when they made jokes on that. Like, so, and believe me, I agree with you. My interpretation was your interpretation.
No, but I like that, though. That is true.
It is an interpretation. Because they didn't, you know, they didn't make any jokes after that relating to it. So there wasn't a, like, directly, oh, you knew she was talking about porn.
Oh, well, no, you can't do that. But it's, no, here's the thing, though. It's a weird thing because, obviously, they can't do that. So, obviously, yeah, it's supposed to be left up to our minds.
Imagination,
but it's
yeah.
a weird, yeah, to our imaginations. But it's weird because it's just, for what Disney said, okay, from the simple fact, and I believe we mentioned this before on the show, the simple fact that Disney said, we don't want you to do a Labyrinth episode because no one will get it. You know, in other words, trying to say that, you know what, we're going to not let you do certain things. I mean, they let them pretty much do everything. That was the only like, one thing. The fact that someone didn't look at that line and go, okay, so maybe one, like, I'm wondering how hard they had to fight for that line. You know, like we've talked about how much they had to fight for, like, blood. Let's say, like, the blood that was in...
Yeah.
The ending
Gideon
of
Rises.
Season 1? Yes,
yeah.
Gideon Rises. How much did that line have to be fought for? Where it's just like, because I feel like at least for certain, even my own eyes, it's really weird to say, which I understand your point, but it's really weird to say, oh no, only the perverts will get it. It's like, it just feels like a weird line in general.
No, not even the only the perverts will get it. I think people will interpret it in a non-perverted sense.
I mean, it's a weird thing because, I mean, again, I understand that that's true. Like, you know, the parents are the ones that are calling in and it's like, oh, excuse me, your minds are in the gutter, not ours, you know, parents. Like, you're the ones
yeah.
that are. But it's just a weird thing to even have out there, I think. Just, like, a weird thing to even, like, let
Oh,
out.
Yeah, I mean, and it was also, like, it's not like it was a necessary thing for the episode. But I guess
yes.
I liked it. I thought it was a funny joke and it jived with
yes.
me because I thought, I see what you guys did there. Like, you know, I realize you can make that kind of joke, and we sit there and we think, oh, Dipper. And then other people are like, Dipper probably looks at girl songs.
Yeah, right.
Know,
I'll say this much. I'll say this much to you. Have you seen any of Matt Smith's Doctor Who? Like, the Doctor Who that Matt Smith was
yes.
Doctor for. Have you seen his first appearance?
I have not. But go ahead.
Sadly, okay. Basically, as he's trying to save London, he ends up going to... Amy Pond's, one of her friends in the small little town she lives in, you know, on his computer to basically hack into all the global networks and go, hey, you know, like, how are we going to speed? Oh, yeah, I'm the doctor, by the way. You remember me, right? And he's like, okay, so how about you do this for me, guys, just to make sure you can save the world. Thanks. And it's crazy, right? But the point is that as he's leaving the room, because I think the guy's name was, let's say his name was John, right? So all of a sudden he's like, yeah, he's on the computer. He's like, okay, good. And as he leaves, he goes, you know, he says, John, you know, just talk to them for me. And he's like, oh, I can't do this. He goes, come on, John. He's like, you can save the world right now. And as he's leaving, he goes, oh, and by the way, delete your internet history. And then leaves.
Here's the thing, too.
What I'm saying is,
yeah, go ahead.
What I like is that maybe that was a reason, like that's something Alex Hirsch could have used. Where it's like, see, that's a family show. They used that. Like, I'm wondering if he had to actually find, like, clips from other, like, see, family show, family,
I don't
see?
Think he had to fight for it that bad, because, like, I don't know how much of Phineas and Ferb you've seen, but
that's the issue.
They're not averse
not.
To making those kind of jokes, and even racist ones. And I'll give you an example that I actually laughed at. And
please do.
So we're in an episode where, do you know the gist of the characters? Like, Candace, Phineas, like, have you seen episodes, or...
I know that one is named Phineas and the other one's like John. All right,
so the main character is Phineas and Ferb, and their
right.
older sister Candace is constantly trying to get them caught
okay.
by
yes,
their
yes,
parents
yes, yes, yes.
for the ridiculous stuff that they do.
Of course.
And in one episode is like a little side quest. The evil scientist Dr. Doofenshmirtz has a machine that turns people into an angry mob. So the Danville has their, like, annual marathon kind of going on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the marathoners are just running their marathon normally. And they get hit by the ray, they get turned into an angry mob, and they're chasing Candace. And by the end of the episode, the ray is deactivated, so they turn back into marathoners. So when she runs to Phineas and Ferb to tell them, you know, look, there's an angry mob behind me. And Phineas just says, oh, those are marathoners. Why would marathoners be behind anybody? Well, except three guys from Kenya. And I lost it. And I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
And this is Disney Channel. So, like, you know, I think that with these lines, like the one-off lines,
mm-hmm.
they're a little bit more lax as they used to, because they know a show like, let's say, Phineas and Ferb or Gravity Falls has an audience outside of what was intended. And
right,
because
of
that,
kids will not think about it.
Yeah. And this is something that used to be done a ton in cartoons when we were younger.
Oh,
you know, a lot
of
references and jokes. So I think they feel like maybe one or two lines won't throw us off. And it also helps remove the stigma that they won't touch anything that isn't, like, super clean, super their way.
That is true. It's very interesting how, you know, I thought personally that we departed from that. Not that I like that we departed from it, but I thought that we departed from it. So it's very nice to kind of see that making its way back. And also, strangely enough, in a show that
I like that racist and sexist jokes are coming back into cartoons.
Hooray. Not the racist, because I don't remember so many of them from our day, but I remember more of the... Like the weird kind of sexualized jokes that I didn't get, possibly from the shows that I didn't even enjoy, actually. Because
I hate to say this,
I wasn't a big fan of Animaniacs growing up. I'm going to look at it again, but growing up I wasn't a big fan.
Go
and
back.
Then I see all the jokes that they did. And I see all the jokes that they did and I go, that's probably why. You know, like I was so young, I was like that.
Oh yeah, go back
why.
And some of the stuff. And even just the playful ones. My favorite line from the show will always be early to bed and early to rise. What's it? Damn it. The line about men, I screwed myself up. Wow. No, it's a line basically about, like, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy but socially dead. Early to rise, early to bed makes a man healthy but socially dead.
Huh. Interesting.
And I love that. I remember seeing that.
Yes.
Only, I mean, I didn't see that till I was older. I saw that when I
right.
was, like, 19. And I laughed because I was like, shit, that was a pretty good line.
And
yeah.
I'm a fan
morality.
Of Fingerprints.
Of
just
what?
Because of how... That's one where I was like, wait, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
You know about that one?
I think I know what you're referencing.
Okay, basically it's like, you know, it's like, get, you know, it's like, come on, get, you know, get Fingerprints. And she's like, Fingerprints? And all of a sudden, like, she's like holding Prince. Like the, yeah, the artist formerly known, smiling. She's like, not in your life, buddy. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if that's where we're going here, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking
really,
of other...
Animaniacs was hilarious, by the way, for anyone listening, in
yes.
my opinion. That's one of the shows that I really... Mm. And I didn't see it growing up. I saw it more now, and I really, really laugh at the jokes.
You know what we should talk about? Speaking of things that seem a bit out there, that's like, are we really teaching kids, not to say good lessons, but I'll say this much. Grunkle Sten pays people off. I just want to put that out there. Grunkle Sten.
He's winking under his eye patch.
He's winking. Good enough for me. This winking under his eye patch, paying people off, like, just, hey, so how about you don't, you know, it's like, what was it, giant woodpecker?
Yeah.
Giant woodpecker.
But he tried to pay people off and a lot, you know, this is not something, in the first episode when the agents come up, he offered them rare pictures of presidents.
Yes, but it's funny for agents, I think, more so than... Here's the thing, too, by the way. It looked like he had very little for the agents, which kind of made me chuckle. For this guy, he looked like he had a lot. Which makes me think,
yeah.
Like, how much money do you have? How much money have you given to this town?
How much money have you given to this town?
Yeah, how much money have you,
no,
have
I mean,
you
I
given
get
to
you.
People?
I get
yeah.
you, and it's weird
I mean,
because
think about
I want
it.
To say, yeah,
sorry,
that's a
wrong
lesson for kids.
What was that?
No, so I want to say that, yeah, you're right, it's the wrong lesson for kids, but it also fits
but
his character.
Fun. Oh, yeah, no, that's the thing that's good, too, I think, where it's just, if you give someone really shitty, you know, character flaws, like, they're really bad, but you give it to only one person, it's okay. Like, if everyone did that in the family, that would be an issue.
I agree.
But because it's just him, I think it's easy for a parent, you know, or a guardian, basically someone who should be involved in their damn child's life, to say, so you see why that's wrong, right, small child? Like, you see how that's not how you should live, correct, small child?
Yeah,
okay,
he's already,
good.
He's basically put as, like, a sleazy character, and...
Exactly. But I say how much money to give it to this town. It's one of those situations where it's just, like, he has a bat cave. Underneath his home. Someone built that. He got people to build, like how much money did he give? How much hush money?
Oh, that's good thinking, actually.
How much, you know, like, how much hush money has he given? Just like, hey, how about you just don't tell people about the universe thing? How about we just don't, you know, how about let's just not? But also, so now that we're talking about, like, actual plot, I have to ask you a question. Did you think we were going to get a different author because of the leaks?
Well, now that, by the way, we've mentioned, we can go into this, and it seems very obvious that that Fiddleford H. McGucket is going to be the author.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay, well, my assumption still that Fiddleford H. McGucket will be the author, and the property of F thing makes it better for me. And
yes, I will
also
say that much.
The,
there are leaks that say that, there, that a person, yeah, there are leaks that say someone in Gravity Falls, you can look that up yourself, is the author. Right? Like, oh, it's not like just some random brand new character. But what I will say is that there are, like, it's weird to say, like, how it's like, you know, there are a lot of hints in this episode that lead towards the, you know, the person that...
Fiddleford Freak is the thing for me that, you know, ignoring the leak, by the way. The Six-Fingered Freak thing was interesting because a lot of us were speculating last season, and I think you were in on this too, in terms of, like, the fingers of the characters and how it matters in terms of the fact that there are six fingers on the book and not five. And traditionally, most of the characters have five or four in some cases, but that's an animation error, I believe. So McGucket has, it seems in some episodes, had five fingers or six with a bandage or something like that.
Yes, bandage.
Yeah, there's the bandage one is what there's talk about. He could be the one, you know,
and
for me.
Yeah, and they've mentioned, you know, in this episode how he hasn't been himself in years, which is crazy too, because how he's pretty much gone crazy, and it makes sense because of the fact that he's built giant death machines, which is awesome because, you know, okay, what I like, what I think is also great about the fact that this is a cartoon rather than a real show, because in a real show, like, you'd have people, I mean, we of course speculate. Like, I hate to say real show, like live action.
Yes.
But we, you know, but in live action, right, more people speculate. Like, oh, you know, like, that's that. But like in a cartoon, it goes over your head. It's supposed to anyway. Oh, well, he built a death robot? It's hilarious, isn't it? And it's like, and now when we, you know, really
grown. Yeah, he built the Gobblewonker and Gideon's giant death thing.
Yeah, and remember his actual, what was it, his actual, like, I think he talked about, like, there's, like, articles where he's built other, like, you know, things that have destroyed this. So that's the thing. So it's like, but it, again, it's a cartoon, so we're supposed to think, like, oh, it's so hilarious. And that was only the second episode. Once we're actually, once we've actually delved into this town and really kind of become, you know, one of its inhabitants in a way, we're starting to realize, wait a minute, that's actually quite wrong. You know, we should not be so cool with that. We need to put on our skepticals. I have to be honest. That was amazing, though. She's like,
I hate
let me put on.
Tie-in. Skeptical.
I didn't mean to. I looked right at my notes, and I said, God? No, like, I just looked right at my notes, and it's popping out at me. But, yeah, no, the skepticals thing was brilliant, I have to say.
Among many of the other good lines in the episode, which, you know, again shows how well they can mesh humor and a serious situation, where...
Oh, yeah.
See, and me watching this episode without any spoilers going into it, right?
Yeah.
I was really confused because when we met this guy, you know, the shapeshifter guy.
Right.
And Dipper's like, you're the guy, and he's talking to Dipper. For a split second, I thought, is what? You know, like, I was like,
yes.
Is it really the author?
That's
and I was
yeah,
kind of
I felt
bothered.
The same. Me too, because, sad, again, we don't want to spoil any of the leaks for you. You have to look them up yourself if you really care, you know, that much about wondering who was leaked by the Disney studio, actually, not even by Alex Hirsch, by the Disney studio when people were going on tours and stuff like that. But what we'll say is, you know, things like that, I mean, especially, I think we talked about this last episode, you and I coming from a wrestling perspective because that's what we want. You know, when they start to hear things like, oh, this is what people think is going to happen, let's go the exact, you know, the exact opposite. And, of course, you know, Alex Hirsch doesn't really, you know, sometimes Alex Hirsch doesn't really have that, or people who animate stuff don't have that kind of leeway. But I will say that it took a while for Gravity Falls to air, which in theory could make you worry, like, oh, God, did they take that extra time to change some things? You know, you never know. right? So you get a bit worried, you get a bit nervous, especially against wrestling
background. I really liked that there were so many theories coming out of season one, because lot of us were sitting there like, MacGuckin is my favorite theory. But there are a lot of people who are behind the Seuss is the author thing, because one of the things, by the way, if you notice, the lab coat fit him very well.
Yes.
No, really. The lab coat fit him very well. And that was one of the things. But people thought Seuss had been at least involved in this because of the whole codes coming out of the games and shows in season one, where it was the handyman knows more than you think and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. I
think Bill referenced directly. He says something like, oh, yeah, the fat one. Like, you all intrigue me or impress me, especially the fat one. And, it was just testament to the fact that Seuss is obviously deeper than we've given him credit for to date.
Yeah, I would laugh, kind of hysterically if, MacGuckin, is the one, right? MacGuckin's the one, and yes, he's gone crazy because of some kind of code thing, right? And we're just, and Seuss is the exact same way. Like, immediately, like, some kind of code decodes Seuss, his mind. And he goes, basically, like, it's like Barry from the episode of American Dad, where he goes from, like, hey, dudes, what is going on?
I know, like, he stops off the... In my head, I thought Festus from wrestling, where, like, immediately turns into, like, this destructive force.
Basically, the second the bell rings... Yeah, the second the bell rings, this man who you could only describe as mentally challenged immediately becomes a force that could destroy anything in its path. And I say it because it's just the way they wrote this character was disgusting. But I will say that, it kind of makes me think like that, like just immediately just a switch in his brain, and now I'm extremely smart and British.
Yeah. And there also used to be theories about Stan writing one of the books, but that seems to have been dispelled with the whole invisible ink thing in episode one.
Yes.
Which I still remain was a beautiful, beautiful story development.
Most definitely. But hey, I'm happy that, that the leaks, because of the leaks, even though the leaks happened, we still could be heading towards that author. Or we could be, we could be heading towards, like, three authors or something.
Could be red herring us, where they're just trying to lead us on another path, and then it's like, gotcha. And we damn it, the signs were there all along.
That's the thing, where it might be a red herring, but I hope it's not a complete
turn.
I
think red herring is up his alley, where he wouldn't just swerve it and be like, ha-ha. Randomly, Mabel is the author. No. I think it would be like something that has been really laid well in the story.
Exactly.
I expect from them. Right.
Right.
Now, granted, this fandom is filled with obsessed people, so pretty much nothing gets by us.
Yeah. But, it's funny because it's like, we are, but there could be little tiny weird things. Like, weird things that... That thing, like, we're just like, damn, we actually didn't think about that.
I discussed this with you in the first season. Clones 3 and 4 never came back home.
Exactly. They could easily use that whenever they want.
The Stanley Mobile license plate. Why is it Stanley Mobile when his name is Stanford? There's a lot
there's bringing up clones, as you even mentioned there, last episode, there are rumors that Stan has a clone.
Right, because of the fight scene where he showed up in different tattered clothing very soon after we saw him working in the basement.
Exactly. Which could literally be nothing other than a Shaun of the Dead reference, or it could be a clone. Which, again, with Alex Hirsch, sadly, you never know. Hell, they could never use the clones until, like, the possible rumored Gravity Falls movie, But you know that they're in his
box. Oh, and speaking of references, by the way, originally I had first thought one of the when the shapeshifter shifted into his few forms to begin.
Yeah.
I originally thought that his last form was a Groot reference.
Thank you. I did not know what that form was, and it reminded me so much of Groot Slenderman kind of crossover.
I thought
it was
Groot,
a reference for.
But you know what I believe it is?
What?
Do you remember seeing Dipper shorts?
Yes.
Do you remember the creature that...
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
That makes sense, yes.
It was the creature that you couldn't see because it was always behind you?
Yes, thank you.
The hide behind. There we go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was very, I was, I have that in my notes as well, because it did strike me as, yeah, I was confused.
Yeah,
because
at first I thought it was Groot, but it was too slender and big to be Groot, and then it hit me. Oh, yeah. It's the hide behind.
Yes.
Which Dipper never discovered.
Yes, thank you for that. But it was in the notebook. Clear, I was in the journal clearly, and thank you for that. Also, by the way, I'd like to mention as they're going into the unknown, which is crazy, by the way, the fact that two episodes in a row were getting heavy. I don't expect this. You know, in the entire season, especially with the next one being Gulf War.
Yeah, Gulf War has to be a humor filler episode.
Yes, but they're okay because humor filler is great for this show with little tiny hints of something, you know, little tiny hints of stuff that really make you want to see each episode and not really skip around.
Right.
But
you know, we had some, like, Fight Fighters in season one was one of my favorite episodes, but that wasn't story development, but that was okay.
Not at all.
Because it was hilarious.
Most definitely. In theory, it had some story development, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of, nothing related to journals, fair enough. But, you know, in relation to... See,
well,
what I like about that,
in a
too.
Way, you know, you could argue that everything had relevance, but it wasn't a direct, you know, plot
that
of
is true.
An episode.
No, but the issue is that some shows, in my opinion, I feel like they have no relevance. Like, even though it could be a fun episode, it is complete and utter filler.
Yeah,
Everything
will tie back, or even though somehow, you know, there is some kind of thing that we can point out as like, that's kind of odd.
Yes, or like think of it like this, ready? Like in this episode, right? Let's say it didn't have any plot stuff, right? Even the quote unquote, or no, rather let's flip it around. All of the quote unquote filler stuff. Let's say someone says, "Oh yeah, the Wendy and Dipper stuff. It's all filler." But guess what? If you wanted to say, "I want to see an entire arc of you know him actually starting to like her and until the end of what happened in this episode," you can do that with certain episodes that may or may not even relate to the journal, but they actually relate to their kind of, you know, like, whatever that thing was, you know, with Dipper liking her unrequited love.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that, you know, where even though...
I like that they actually resolved that early.
Yes.
Because I didn't want that to be a will-they-won't-they thing.
Jumping to that, which is a great thing to do, what's funny is, Wendy is not too old for Dipper, it's just that at that time frame, she's too old for him.
Yeah, she's what?
You know what I mean.
15?
Yeah. And he's 12.
And he's 12?
Well, she isn't too old for him. But in that time frame, she's too old for him, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and that makes sense.
Yes, and that's the thing that I like. It makes sense. And what's really nice about it, is that it's just, you know, it's a good lesson for not just kids, right, but for anyone. I mean, mind you, it's a wake-up call for kids because, you know, sadly the media just tells them, be romantic. Well, what is romantic? Whatever we show you. You know what I mean? It's like, no. It's a nice wake-up call. Where it's like, hey, look, sometimes you're not going to get the girl. Sometimes you might not get the guy. But you know what? If that does, and here's where it becomes a good lesson for anyone. Even though it doesn't happen, you don't have to immediately start to hate your guts and look at Wendy as if she's one of the monsters in Gravity Falls.
No, she handled it very well in terms of, I don't know how to explain it, but I wasn't bothered by it. You know, it was
no, I was the exact opposite. I was overjoyed with it.
Okay, good. I was happy with it.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, because thing is, like, I mean, when you look at it, it's just, you know, it's a good life because think about it, right? Anyone can think, you know, our relationship is over, right? Let's say if they are in an actual, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing. It's over, you know, everything's dead, you know, we can still be friends. I mean, I have some ex-girlfriends that I'm still friends with, and that's perfectly okay. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that so long as, you know, you have another boyfriend or girlfriend in the future, you're very respectful. But there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that it's nice to have a show can be, you know, really funny and really crazy and zany. It can teach kids a really good lesson. And again, anyone a good lesson. Where it's like, hey, stop and think. You know what I mean? Like, it's so true what Wendy said. If you can fight monsters, you know what I mean, if you can do the crazy stuff that you do in your life, because, yeah, everyone has had really crazy struggles in their life. You can deal with either a no or we have to, you know, move on and stuff. You can deal with that.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. It's a nice message, and I think it's a good, because I feel like a lot of today, you know, we're sending kids the wrong message. You know, where it's just, which is basically just, you know, throwing, just sexualize, which is nothing wrong with it in a way, but still, you know what I mean? Like, we just throw a lot at kids without actual context, you know, without explanation. So it's nice to have something to say, hey, you know, like, kind of like a Bo Dallas, like, hey, little guy, you know, and to actually kind of just make people go, like, you know what, that's nice. Like, that's the thing, throughout the entire episode, if a kid managed to not cry or jump out a window, right, with all the scary shit that happened during the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the bunker
stuff was sick.
We'll talk about that soon. If they make it to the end, right, and the parent is sitting there with them and is about to go, nope, after this episode is over, I'm going to complain to Disney. We're going to turn this off. We're going to I'm going to scrape out your corneas, right? The kid sits there with the parent, and then they get to see that amazing scene and go, wow, you know what? Like, that's a good lesson for you. Damn, I can't be that angry anymore.
You couldn't in the first place, except, you know, the first part of the episode was a horror movie. But, you know,
yeah,
all good in the
hood. That's how I feel. It's just, it's wonderful. And,
can we talk about, like, the creepiness of the Mark Hamill-voiced shapeshifter, which made me pleased?
Oh, no, we're going to talk about that now, because this is our extended, an hour and a half episode. Because guess what? We need that extra half, because Gravity Falls. Before we got into this amazing scene with Dipper and Wendy. So they're going down, right, into the tunnels, right, into everything. And there's this giant trap that's laid for them, right? And the scariest thing I think about this trap, which is so cool because the kids won't get it, right? The kids will be like, wow, that was crazy. But they got out because they're the main characters. And then you have you and I. And we're like, no, you don't understand. They could have died.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, not all of them, but, like, there was a part of me that, and I'm being honest with you here, I thought because I had come to appreciate Wendy so much in the last, like, 120 seconds, that this is where we lose her.
I'll be honest with you. Any other show that wasn't, see, this is the only, I think, not even an issue, because I don't think Alex Hirsch would do this, but also I do believe it's a Disney Channel thing, where it's like, I believe in, okay, every other show teaches you that that's the trope where someone's going to die, where it doesn't matter who. Like, it could be anyone, man, woman, child, doesn't matter, right? Just, it can be a guy polishing his gun in a war movie going, you know, I got two kids at home. Don't tell me about this. What do you mean? I'm just telling you about how I love them very much. Don't tell
me.
As soon
as you tell me about your
birthday.
Family, it's over.
You know, it's the little one's birthday in March.
Damn.
Or in March. For fuck's sake.
I'm going to be discharged in a week. All I have to do is get through this last day. You're going to die. You know the trope. You know exactly the trope.
Exactly, you know? And that's the thing right there. So it's really nice to see. But what I like about the trap, though, right, and I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you actually read the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga, but I like that there was an actual death trap just like that. Like, in the manga as well. Well, because this is before they actually had, you know, cards. Or at least
you're
cards
talking about
the little coded
room, right?
Yes. It was basically like a thing where it was the five of them, you know, the main team, right, trying to get through something called Death Tea, which was something that Kaiba had made. And, yeah, you should read the manga. I should probably lend that to you.
Kaiba was so friendly.
Kaiba was so... That's why you look at the anime and you're like, that Kaiba's a bitch. Like, Kaiba tried to kill people. Like, Kaiba at one point had them in a deathmatch thing where, like, the people that... Okay, it was like laser tag, except that Yugi's team had, like, little tiny lasers that would, like, if they hit you in the chest, it'd be like a little tiny stun gun. The other guys had, like, X amount bolts. And also, the people they were going up against were, like, people, like, trained in guerrilla warfare. And other military styles.
Oh, God.
Kaiba was so friendly. Oh, yeah, Kaiba had them go up against a serial killer who looked just like, what's his Leatherface from the Chainsaw Massacre. Swear to God.
Nice.
Anyway, my actual point here, right, is the fact that they were all about to get out of this one room that was kind of closing in on them just like that. And strangely enough, as they're all about to get out, and they're like, awesome, like, we're all there together. Tristan, or Honda, looks at them and smiles, and he says, go on, guys. And they're like, what do you mean? Come on, come with us. His jacket is stuck in one of the square box things. And he goes, guys, just go on without me. Don't worry, it's okay. and it closes on them. And they're like, Tristan, no!
Tristan
and they thought he
Marvel?
Died for a bit. They thought he died for a bit. Like, Mokuba turned good and saved him, but they thought he died for a bit.
Oh.
Like, for like one full game, they were like, so, our friend just died. It's like, but they fucked up, Joey. Pretty fucked up, you. For like a minute, they really thought he died, which is not even for a minute, for literally, I think, a whole other game, they thought he died. And it was insane. Point is that it reminded me of that, which makes me think, like, oh, I wonder if that's kind of what they were going, because I have a strange feeling, just like how in the show, we don't know a lot about, you know, like these certain characters. I don't know a lot about Hirsch. I feel like he's a lot nerdier than we think.
Yeah, he is. But I love him. I mean, I guess we can try to go chronologically for a little bit, before we jump too much into the traps, because I did have one little point about that. The whole, like, nuclear fallout shelter slash, like, the entire setup down there really made me interested, because this guy had stocked supplies for years.
Oh, yeah.
Years,
90
years. And that was kind of cool. And
then,
you know, there was one that was opened recently, and I assume it was by the shapeshifter, but it was just very intriguing. Like, that whole thing
was
just...
It was by the shapeshifter because he had something to eat. And also, if you noticed, obviously on the cans...
Yeah,
that's
how he got it.
Yes. Also, we have ourselves a caller. I would like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, hey, it's Daniel, everyone. He's usually calling for a Monday Night Raw podcast. Daniel, tonight we're doing Gravity Falls.
Dude, I'm excited because I actually watched Gravity Falls tonight.
Oh, but did you or did you not? Because we're actually doing episode 2, not episode 3.
I watched every episode of Gravity Falls.
Okay, creepy Daniel, we're actually going to cut you off now, but thank you for calling. You creepy man, you.
So Daniel,
killed
you have
a man
a,
last
so you,
week.
You've seen, we're talking about Into the Bunker, which, you know, was the creepy shapeshifter episode.
Yeah,
and,
that almost came to nightmares.
Good luck sleeping tonight, dude.
Good luck sleeping tonight, dude.
One of the sickest endings to an episode they've done there, where it was just that's the last thing you're going to see. And it just pans out to Dipper staring at that. That was done beautifully.
Wow.
Yes. But so, Daniel, how did you feel about the fact that Joker was the villain?
Oh, gosh. Mark Hamill, you are the ultimate good and the ultimate evil in all the universe.
Yeah. In case anyone didn't know, Mark Hamill, the guy who is both Joker, Luke Skywalker, and more, is currently a freaking shape-shifting. It's funny, because people try to use the word monster. He's a demon, all right? That's a demon. All right, that's Paranormal Activity right there. Like, that's a demon. Like, I don't mess with that shit.
Okay.
So, Daniel, so how did you feel about the episode as a whole?
Ah, dude, I love the episode, especially coming off of the first episode of the season, which was zombies, and it was freaking amazing. But
yes, it's nice that they were able to do something so simple as zombies and do it well. And then this episode kind of go way out there, where it's like shape-shifting alien, or just monster in general, shape-shifting monster.
Let's just call him a demon, because that's what it feels like. Because when he did that thing with Mabel and Dipper, and like just use both. Should I use one or should I be the other? How about both? I'm like, God, dang it, that makes me.
No, and that amalgam creation, like chimera thing, was creepy as hell.
Like a child with. So now I understand why some parents don't like their kids watching this show.
I agree completely. Like, I've heard some parents say, nope, not happening. And I've heard others say, well, I mean, I like it, so why not let my kid watch it, right? Like, it's funny how the divide is kind of there. It's like John Cena fans and non-John Cena fans.
I'll talk to you later about that one.
Tomorrow night, don't worry.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Please do. Definitely. And how could you see this show, you might ask, listener, who isn't Daniel? Please, like our Facebook, those guys on the radio. #  selfless promotion.
Shit, fuck.
Anyway,
Daniel, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier, but I want to throw something out there to you. Who are you following in terms of, like, the author of the journals? What theory do you subscribe to? Or is there any specific, like, conspiracy theory, like Stan's twin or something like that that you really like?
I'm like, okay, the whole Stan's twin thing, I'm like, okay, I can buy into it, but I'm like, nah. I'm like, nah on that. I'll wait till more evidence comes through. And
okay.
Then, but as for the author of the book, it's McGucket, because I'm pretty sure that's 6 feet. He's the only one.
Sorry about that, Daniel.
Okay, thanks.
McGucket and...
It's McGucket.
I'm sorry.
And,
so you were saying McGucket because you believe he has 6 fingers, I assume?
Yeah, the 6 fingers. And plus, did you see the episode of the when Mabel and Dipper went back in time?
Yes.
Didn't that baby
yes.
kind of look like McGucket when it has a Band-Aid on the chin anyway? So.
That's an interesting point that I don't think has been raised.
I was unable to hear Daniel's point. What looked like McGucket?
McGucket was actually, I think McGucket was born a lot longer ago than we think he was.
That would be funny. Dipper and Mabel are the ones that caused this
yeah.
entire situation to happen via time travel because Alex Hirsch.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to bring up.
That's
I
a
wonder.
New theory.
You should post new. That's how people make new theories, I feel. Like, hey, did you notice that the color's a bit off in the sky, like on that one scene? Yeah, I do. So Bill did it? I assume as much.
Yeah.
Like, that's how theories get made in this fandom. Like, it's great. So Bill did it. Yeah, Bill did it.
Bill does a lot of things.
Bill
he knows a lot, too. But anyway.
Bill is a wonderful character. But, yeah,
yeah,
I'm surprised also, and while we still have you here, Danny, you know, just to keep you in the conversation,
yeah.
I am surprised there's been literally no mention of Bill.
Oh, he's coming. He's coming.
There you go.
What do you know? That's what's frightening, I think. It's just frightening. It's like, oh, no, don't worry.
Like, I don't think they want to confront Stan about Bill yet. Because I'm pretty sure they feel that Stan knows something about Bill.
It would be really funny if he didn't, I think. That would be great. If that's only a journal thing.
Remember, Bill was really excited about getting some kind of revenge on Stan or having something to do with Stan. So I feel like, you know, there's got to be some kind of bad blood there, but I don't know what yet, and I hate it. Like, I hate and love the fact that there are so many things that I have no idea
wouldn't it be nice if Stan messed with Bill without even realizing it? Like, Bill looked like something else, let's say. You know, because Bill can become, in a way, anything, right?
Mm.
So Stan could have easily done something like stiffed him on something, money. It could be anything, you know? Something so small that it's like, actually, I'm a wizard from this nebula. I don't care. You know? Just, like, literally just underestimating what he was dealing with. And it's like, great, so now you have an enemy for life that can actually destroy everything you love. Awesome.
Yeah, but
good
Stan,
job, Stan.
Stan is my favorite character just because he's that uncle who can say anything, he can say anything and you'll never be prepared for it. I will quote this
yeah.
line. Like,
you know,
I went to I got this coffee. It's fresh imported from Colombia. Oh, Colombia! I went to prison there once.
Basically, you're never prepared for it, and yet for some reason, it always makes sense. You're like, yeah, sounds like Grunkle Stan.
The latter's line might be my favorite Stan line in the entire show so far.
I agree. The fact that that's another one that's just like that got past censors because ladders.
What was it? Studies show that having a gun in the house is a ladder in the house is more dangerous than having a loaded gun. That's
yeah,
why
cool.
I own 6 guns. I was
like,
sobbing because I was like, "What?
Yeah.
So some crazy person with a ladder doesn't try to come in here?"
Oh God!
Dangerous than guns.
So,
Daniel, I'm glad you're also in on this fandom with us because, you know, normally you call in for wrestling shows and that's great. And now it's good because we know we'll have your company for the Gravity Falls shows as well. It's always good to have our, like, crossovers within our fan base.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course. And, of course, you know, always make sure, you know someone who likes Gravity Falls. Throw our page at them. Not quietly send them a link. No, throw our page at them. Because
literally, no,
hashtag.
Print our page out and ball it up and throw it at them. That's what he's asking. He wants that level of dedication.
And they'll be like, what's this piece of trash? And you go, exactly.
Exactly.
And on that note, thank you for being on, Daniel. And of course, keep on listening in, and definitely call him in the future.
All right. See you around.
Oh, dear. I cut him off again. I did not
it's
mean
to. It's
funny
that you cut him off because I know you've been having audio difficulties tonight.
Yes.
But I also am having them, and I got Daniel out of order there, and I literally heard, see around you.
Oh, no, I heard see you, and then also I heard see you around, and I was like, no, but you said the you. Why would you add another see you around? What? Yeah, no, we're having, it's weird. Gravity Falls, oh, dear. Blog Talk Radio told me we're going to have some issues tonight, and it confused me.
Gravity Falls told you we're going to have some issues tonight.
We don't want
apparently,
you
Gravity Falls
about
is now an entity that is in discussion with you.
What if that's true? What if Gravity Falls is actually like a living, breathing?
We need
okay.
to like soundtrack
anyway,
music.
No, but
I want. I'm putting in an official request. The next time we do a Gravity Falls show, I want the slow number version of the theme song that they used to end off the first season.
Will do. But. What I think is great, though, seriously, though, Blog Talk Radio told me, there's going to be issues tonight. We have to hang up your call when I called in, you know, to prep for the show. We have to hang up your call. Didn't hang up my call. That's how I knew there were problems.
Yeah.
When you can't do what you just said you're going to do because of your issues, that's how bad you are.
That's how bad the technical difficulties are. We're sorry. We're going to have to cut you off. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. That's not cutting me off, Blog Talk Radio. That's the exact opposite.
Basically, yes. But anywho, speaking of Mabel's clothing, because that's a great segue, I want to see more of her crazy wardrobe.
She now
crazy
has
wardrobe.
Fire hazard electric clothing. I don't know if that's the gimmick in season 2, electric clothing, because she's got, you know, the episode 3 will confirm that. Because, you know, we get the boombox episode in... Well, Boombox sweater, I'm sorry, in episode 1. And now we have the light bulb. So it's possible we could have a running gag, because we do know that the codes at the end of the episodes are in rhyme.
Oh, right. Yes, another running gag, which we'll talk about at the end of this review. And this is great. I want that to be a running gag, because we've had it twice. And it's, for some reason, also I like how appropriate it is to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where... as if Mabel sat there and went, okay, what do I have to wear today? No, not the boombox one. That would be silly. Definitely the one that can light up in case it's really dark down there.
This reminds me, by the way, because we segued away from it. The trap room with the lights and the coating and that stuff.
Right, right.
How much do you want to bet that the symbols that he had to push have some kind of meaning?
I would assume that they did.
You would assume, like, because it's funny, because I'm coming to the point where I assume that they know that we know everything. Not everything, but, you know, we're onto everything. And they're just going to sit there and be like, you know, we're going to make those symbols, we're going to put those symbols out there and make everyone think they mean something. And then they mean nothing.
I mean,
but
if it makes you feel any better.
Analyzing everything.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, like, as you know, they're adding so much crazy stuff to, you know, symbols and stuff. I mean, they added... you know, binary code, just because I feel.
Right, and it's funny,
you know?
By the way, in the first episode when they have the first set of binary code coming out, where it's like, you know, 1%, like 0%, that binary code means nothing.
Right.
And I hate
that. Yes, that, which is terrible, because someone clearly tried.
Yeah, someone tried to analyze it, and they got like, and it was like, shit.
Yeah, but no, there's... I mean, there is just, this show is amazing, obviously, and, you know, and what was I going to say? Oh, I love that, the shapeshifter said, I don't get any non-mole people visitors. So mole people just exist. Like we just,
good reference.
Like
that was another good catch and reference.
Yeah. Mole people just exist. That's where we are. And it's funny because I want to have something witty, but it's not. They create it. I can't say, they go, oh, well, here's my funny joke to add to that. No, that's the joke. How did you feel about Mabel in this episode, by the way? I felt weird about her because I'm weird about those people who try to, and I know she's a kid, but still, I'm weird about for those people who try to be like, nope, I'm going to put you two in a room, you know, or I'm going to be pushing, you know, it felt weird to me.
Until she apologized.
Exactly. Thank you. I did not like it. Like, it made me not like her.
And I think that was done on
purpose. Because
it's
Mabel.
You wanted people to see, like, don't do that. It's not right to force people to do that kind of stuff. Let them do it on their own time.
Which is great because, yeah, they didn't do it on her time. They did it on their time, which is amazing. And I like that, it's another lesson for kids, I think, because sadly there are people, you know, well into their 20s, it doesn't matter what gender, but it's well into their 20s, 30s, who still think that matchmaker is a real thing, you know?
Oh, there's
like,
Perez,
you know,
Hilton, who goes out there thinking, I'm going to out people because it's better for their secrets to be out.
Yeah.
You know, it's let people live their lives on their own time, dudes and dudettes, and those
exactly.
who don't, like, you know, feel like dudes or dudettes, that applies to you too.
Freaking, because it's great because, you know, normally you only see those in high school, but still, it can still, you know, sadly seep into adult life. So it's great to try to have lessons that in a way could nip it right in the butt, like nip it right there and say, hey, don't do that shit. You're a child. Now you see, don't do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good lessons that aren't just, I mean, look, I love a show like Full House, but you could argue that that's a show that, you know, it's a fun show, but it's not like, you know, it's a show where people go, oh God, Full House, you know, with all their lessons. It's nice to have something like Gravity Falls, which could just be batshit crazy and still have a lesson at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Also. Go ahead, actually.
I was going to say, I was going to move on to the scare factor.
Go for it.
I think it's crazy to see the boundaries of where a children's show can go nowadays with it. Because, you know, I know you're not really a Doctor Who fan, but you like what you've seen. So you can see that how, you know, a Doctor Who fan like myself or others could look at Doctor Who, which, yeah, it's a family show. We looked at it and we went, damn, you know, I would like this to be applied to, you know, American stuff, you know, that's kind of geared towards the family or, you know, for kids as well.
Yeah.
Because it was never anything that made you go, oh, my God, like, this person's, you know, inside, like, nothing really gory, but it was scary for children. And that's how they try to write Doctor Who, where it's like, if your kid's watching it from the back of the couch, job well done. You know, so, and it's nice to kind of see that here, where it's like, yeah, the kid might be scared, but it's a kind of scare that it's like, it's good for kids to be a little scared, you know? It's silly to say, oh, no, children can never be frightened at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until a parent goes, oh, no, it's fine for my child to be frightened. Let me take them to, like, Evil Dead or something that is truly not for them.
Isn't that what you wanted to do?
What?
Take your children to, like, Evil Dead?
As a joke, but when I actually saw it happen for the new Evil Dead, and I believe one of the female zombies in the beginning, you know, whatever you want to call them in the beginning, that I used the C word being, you know, women towards.
Yeah,
I sat there and I heard a kid go, is that, I believe, I swear I heard, is that Evil Dead, Mommy? And I went, are you fucking serious? Like, I was about to, if I had, you know, I was so, I can't even explain how angry I was and how I just thought, I really want to go get a manager right now and say, could we try to get these kids out of here, even though they're, you know, you can't, but so can we try? And because it's bullshit, you know what I mean? So it's nice to have a healthy alternative for children to kind of get horror in without actually going to the point where it's like, so this is definitely not appropriate for you at all. Like, the directors and the writers did not think a 5-year-old will be watching this. Look,
yeah,
Gravity Falls, they have, you know, they, of course, Alex Hirsch assumes that, which is nice. So it's a nice, healthy, you know, horror kind of style. Same thing with Summer Wheat.
I sit there, and I I'm being very honest now, you know, like, obviously I'm not going to freaking piss myself from Gravity Falls. I'm not. But I can appreciate something that's done well in terms of, wow, that's scarily designed, or that was well done. And two things that obviously stand out that I've already mentioned. The Mabel Dipper Chimera thing that he shapeshifted into was superbly creepy. I thought that was, you know, as a single point of a monster, that had the look of something that you would never, ever, ever want to see, whether you're 30 or you're 10. And on top of that, the shapeshifter's last lines before being frozen, I thought was spectacular. Honestly, I wanted to clap where I was like, damn, that was good. That was how, you know, you go out as a villain.
Yeah, and
the transition to Dipper's face, too.
Oh, yeah, and I know you said that, and I'm not saying that I shit myself at all, but what I am saying is that it could easily make people who aren't so into the horror genre be frightened, regardless of age, which is really nice.
That Dipper-Mabel thing could get people to cringe. I mean, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and what freaked me out more is I believe that Friday when I saw it, or whatever day I saw it, I'm pretty sure it was the day after I did a Dragon Ball Z show with Tristan Walter that we also do on our podcast. Every week we do a, you know, Dragon Ball Z episode on the movies. And what freaked me out about it is I think, you know, when you think of Dragon Ball Z and you think, oh, fusion, right? So in my head, I still had the idea of, yes, fusion, like Gotenks or Gogeta or Vegito or Vegirot, whichever version you're looking at. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to see. You know, fusion. Like, you know, something, you know what I mean? Like something was a little different, like how the like how an artist would do. You know, like on, let's say, you know, on Tumblr or on or DeviantArt, right? Nope, just freaking Chimera, not even Chimera. I mean, just a complete mockery to God. You know what I mean? Just a complete,
yeah,
I mean,
no,
just...
really, it was a mockery of God, and it was great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and that's the thing, it was just so frightening, and also the sound that it made, too. It still made the same sound. It didn't, like, try to sound any different, like Dipper or Mabel. Like, when it went, well, like, when the shapeshifter became Wendy, did not try. Just... I was like, okay, I'm officially frightened.
I thought that was really cool, by the way, the whole Wendy versus Wendy thing. And it was funny because I was wondering how they were going to do the give me a sign thing. And I loved that they used the lock and key thing because that's been used before. You know, they used that in the Inconvenience thing where Dipper did the Lammy dance. And, you know, so I liked that, that's actually a thing. Where it wasn't like a one-off little moment where it's like, oh, she has a cut on her knee. That has to be the real Wendy.
I actually thought that's what they were going to do, and I think that's why they were trying. Like, that's a red herring that, you know, Alex Hirsch would do. Which, because, yeah, I thought that's how I'm going to... The second I saw that her knee was cut, I thought that's how we're going to know how, you know, why the difference between her and the shapeshifter. Immediately, that's what I thought. Which was funny, because what I thought the red herring was going to be, the shapeshifter... was the one with the cut for some weird, like, for some awful reason. Wendy, you cut
your knee. We've done something like that before where we had Bill as Seuss. You know, so they're not averse to people, like, trying to trick the crap out of us.
Exactly. So I assumed that was going to happen or something like that. But no, we actually had, you know, something completely out of character, which made Dipper immediately go, nope, that's, you know, which sucks because it's sad, too, in a way, where it's like, it's something I would do, too. Where it's just like, you know, you could have something where it's like, you know, like, it's you and I, and you're like, no, but Matt, your girlfriend is saying that she loves you. She's winking. No, that must be the evil one. No, Matt, like, that's your, Matt, no, you know what I mean? Like, no, it must be the evil one. I'm very self-loathing, you know, where it's like, I feel like it's something that's so real to people, you know, and that's what I like about the show, as I said before. It just seems real. You know, it seems like, you know, and it's funny because it's a show about monsters and about things like that. But no, in all of this craziness, you can actually find, you know, like real people in real situations. And I like that.
Yeah, and I mean, the episode itself was cool because they immediately drove into the, I can blacklight the journal now. I should do something about that.
Yep.
And,
yeah,
you know, that was a page that was blacklighted in episode one. And it really, you know, everything in terms of they are writing this to make it obvious to us, but not so obvious. So when we look back, we sit and we're like, wow, the signs. In terms of, like, they re-mentioned twice in the first episode, oh, half the pages are blank. Oh, he stopped writing here, it seems like. You know, and then they show us the blacklight. So they're kind of like, here you go. Here are your A and B. Put it together. You know, and so we see at the end of episode two, things that I wonder, like, you know, we've got this laptop now. Does the laptop come up again? How quickly does it come up again? Because that's obviously story advancement.
Yeah, I would argue, I don't know about episode three, sadly, but I would argue at episode four or five it should pop up with the way that
It won't come up in episode three. It's got to be filler. Or not filler as in traditional filler, but you know what I mean. Like Gravity Falls is filler.
Of course, yes. Also, speaking of the, getting back to the whole Wendy thing, I, obviously it's so cliche, but it's just, they still managed to make it seem new and different, you know, where they did something with it that made you think. And also the fact that because they knew it was cliche, they didn't spend 30 years on it, like other kind of parodies of it would.
Right, like the
or
entire
even the original,
movie,
yeah.
In terms of something like that. It was done quickly and well, and I like that it was, like, I kind of knew that was the shapeshifter there. But I like that it was also an avenue to get Dipper to express his feelings.
Yep. Also, as we mentioned before, we mentioned this last episode, if for some reason, if something is deemed non-human, they can possibly urinate on it, and it's okay. You know, they freaking had Dipper use an axe on Wendy, but even though it was a shapeshifter, it looked just like Wendy. But nope, Dipper used an axe. Like, this is like, I like that it's just the whole idea of, but it's not human, so it's okay. This
right,
was paid
I mean,
for by humans.
And I like that, because, I mean, in terms of non-human existence, things, you know, you got to be a little bit brutal with them. You know?
Yeah, it would be really silly if it was just like, you know, I mean, it worked in Dragon Ball, right, where it's like, befriend them. It would be really silly here to say, but shapeshifter, would you not like to have dinner with us?
Well, you know, well, I mean,
the shapeshifter character scared the crap out of me, by the way, because not like in the, like, horror sense, but, oh, my God, there is a shapeshifting character. And what I think scared me is that it was listed as an experiment, which made me think, like, did you ever watch Lilo and Stitch growing up?
No, but I understand what you're trying to say, like, the whole,
sort of
like, is it? Yeah.
There are, slash, like, are there more like him? Or, if not like him, what else is out there that is an experiment / is this man made? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, what, like, yeah, how much, thank you for bringing that up, it didn't even occur to me. Yeah, how much is man made there? Like, how many are, oh, these are just, because the thing is, I've mentioned before in episode one, oh, is it like a portal to another world where, like, the monsters are in there? Well, what if it's all man made? Not all, but what if a chunk of them are, because obviously werewolves and things like that aren't man made, obviously. You know, like, gnomes, in my opinion, are just real.
They're
real,
right.
You know? Yeah. But when it comes to things like, oh, God, what was it? It wasn't the unicorn. I can't believe I still forgot about it. The leprechaun.
What
if, you know what I mean? Like, that
makes me think.
Leprechaun,
a genetic splicing experiment or something like that.
Yeah. And it's frightening, you know, or does it make you think like, or, you know, is the shapeshifter, you know, was it bad because it was, you know, an experiment, like it was experimented on to become a shapeshifter, or did he manage to catch it, you know, try to, like, see how it, you know,
Flash,
lived.
Like, was it evil in the first place, or did he just get mad because he was in prison for so long?
Yes, I mean, yeah,
you know, like,
evil in the first place, you know, or,
me.
Yeah. And, or, again, he could have been, in my opinion, he could have been evil from day one, but it was, you know, it was the, whatever, whoever the author is, trying to see, okay, and let me test this out. You know what I mean? Like, let me let it live its life, and let me study it. And while it's letting it live its life, it, you know, the author goes, okay, this is extremely dangerous. This thing needs to be frozen. Like, nope, not happening. Like,
and
this
it's,
thing
it's interesting,
can become...
because he didn't freeze it right away. Because the shapeshifter mentions that he used to sit and write in the journals.
So that's what I'm saying. He probably was studying it and studying other things as well. And that's the thing. I feel like as if he was studying it and then went, you know what? This is really bad.
Yeah.
Also, I have a question for you. So he, it's been, you know, even though I just saw this, it still just occurred to me. He said that he froze him. Right? He froze the shapeshifter.
I think it needed to be frozen. Was what was written or something like that?
Okay, okay, thank
or
you.
Needs to be frozen or something on the paper.
And okay, thank you.
It's assumed that it was let out.
That's what I'm saying. It clearly was not, or was let out. By whom?
Yeah.
It's another great question. There are many great mysteries. But yeah, so also, by the way, something we actually didn't mention. I don't know if you noticed. Have you seen Predator?
I have.
The shapeshifter had predator eyes.
Mm.
When you saw through its eyes, it had heat seeking. And
when
I sat there and I thought,
was it Dipper and Mabel?
Yes, which is even more frightening, I think, where he had the heat seeking eyes, and then he became that thing, that abomination against God, which and it's funny to say this, I know how you might feel at first, but hear me out. It may be a reference to Dipper and Mabel Shippers. And before you sit there and go, Matt, what are you trying to say? Please understand that Alex
that
Hirsch
really
understands.
Funny.
Alex Hirsch understands everything in his world, in the world of, because here's the thing. If you remember, because after the episode,
this is
the
offspring, you infidels. This is
no,
what
not
you
to.
Have created.
Yeah.
If you
no,
want them to be together, this is what I will give you. This is their child.
I know
no,
that's
I
not where
tell
you were going.
But
I've learned
but I
to voice
you for
my thoughts on this podcast. So
I thank you for bringing that up. But what I want to say is, I don't know if you've heard about this. When the episode ended, or I don't know how long it took for the episode to end or air or whatever, he posted a picture of it's just like a slash picture with, it was very tame though, with Pacifica and Dipper.
Mm.
And it said, no, and it was in all caps, now that this Wendy thing is out of the way, we can move on to Dipper X Pacifica. He tweeted that out himself. So he clearly isn't stupid when it comes to what's going on.
Oh, my God.
So that's basically what I'm trying to go with this here. Yes. But,
well,
of course,
remember, Mabel was already listing rebound crutches for Dipper.
Yes. Which is great. I wanted to see that list so badly, but anyway.
I did
four
too.
Weeks.
I did too. I was deeply curious as to that list.
I assume Pacifica would have been on it, honestly. At least as like a yeah, she's just a rebound. She's nothing serious, Dipper. She would never be anything serious for you. Like Mabel's looking at him in the eye. She will never be anything. Like, well,
that fits her character.
But so anyway, before we finish up, I would like to say, as we mentioned before with the whole Dipper and Wendy thing and how wonderful that was at the end there, what I like mostly is that there's a big crossroads in Dipper's life. You know, this is a big part of his life right now. And I'm happy that we're able to experience it with him. And I like that kids can experience it with him. You know, it reminds me of DBZ, right? You grow attached to these characters because you see them grow. And when you look back at earlier episodes or volumes or whatever, it feels like you were right there with them, you know, when they were young. And possibly you yourself were young, you know. And even though we're older now, we're still in an age where, like, yeah, if, you know, whenever Gravity Falls ends, God, heaven forbid it ends, whatever it ends, and we're, you know, 10 years future or whatever, we can look back and go, yep, you know what I mean? Like, these characters grew while we were growing. Doesn't matter when
yeah.
in our lives. You know,
I think I said this in the first one, but we
mm-hmm.
see Gravity Falls as a show basically through the eyes of Mabel and Dipper.
Yeah.
Mainly through Dipper. You know, we basically, so in a way, like, we're Dipper. As he learns, we learn. Because that is,
yeah.
you know. So I like that. Because although it seems like something very simple, we can really feel with Dipper. Like, we knew he was in love with Wendy. And you can sit there and be
yeah.
like, man, I can jive with the fact that you got turned down by a girl. But it's okay.
Yeah.
You have a lot of other
yeah.
stuff going on, bro.
Yeah, no, it's true, because, you know, it's so true, because he does, you know, like, and it's funny, I think that's the one thing that maybe kids can't understand, because kids do have a lot going on in their lives, fair enough, like, it's still, I hate when people try to underestimate their kids or teenagers, it's like, no, you have stuff going on, but at the same time, though, yeah, when you're a bit older, you do have so much going on in your life, like, you know, understand that, yes, that girl problem is a thing, but you have a huge math test tomorrow. Oh, did I say math test? I meant giant monster. That's destroying the city.
Mm-hmm.
Dipper, you must save the city. You know, like, these huge responsibilities. And it's very nice to kind of see that mirrored. And I bring up DBZ because there are a lot of manga, I think, that really have a nice way of having the characters actually grow, like, in age. And by doing that, you grow with them. DBZ especially. You know, I mean, sadly, we only got the Z portion. We didn't really get the Dragon Ball section so much. But for a lot of people who did, you know, I mean, you know, you even, like, you look at Ashley Coltan, right, who Ashley, you know, she's been on, like I said, she's been on a few shows with us. I lend her the entire manga series. So for her, it's just such a beautiful thing to see Goku grow up, you know,
right.
with this entire series, you know, and then also seeing, you know, like, watching the latest movie, which we've also did an episode about, those guys on the radio, Facebook. Anyway, we did an episode about, and you get to see, you know, his transformation in a way, because it's like, yeah, he was once a child. now he's freaking, you know, a god. I mean, that's crazy when you think about it.
Now
anyway,
I'm just thinking about Dipper going Super Saiyan.
Which should be your always, like, your main thought, always. It's never not been a thought. Also, I would like to mention that Wendy knows about the bottomless pit. I want to put that out there.
Yes.
When she referenced that, I looked up and I said, damn it, Dipper. You know, like, I know you like her. And she is trustworthy. But
everybody knows more. Yeah, I mean, now Wendy and Seuss are in on, like, you know, this entire crew is in on the secrets of Gravity Falls. And what's scary about it is that we see things, as I said, through the eyes of Dipper and Mabel. Stan, Seuss, and Wendy all have secrets.
Yep.
We don't know them yet. Because we only see things through the eyes of, and, you know, for those of you who are listening to this, like, we see stuff with Stan all the time. You do, but nothing has been directly cleared up for us yet. We're basically seeing things through the eyes through Dipper and Mabel. And because of that, our information is limited to being Dipper, where we sit there, and Mabel, where we sit there and speculate based on what's in front of us.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know,
and what's so excellent about the show? What's so excellent about the show? The fan involvement, the speculation that comes, you know, because everyone has every show has conspiracy theories, fan theories, fans, you know, stuff like that. You have to be in on it.
Oh, of course. And before we finish up, I'd like to read a couple of quick cryptograms. During the ending credits, the cryptogram that we get was, "What kind of disaster indeed?" Which makes you think, wait, do you mean, like, what whoever the author was preparing for? Like, wait, what? Like, I hate this so much. And apparently found on the barrel in the bunker, the keyword, right, is shifter.
Right.
Which is just, damn it, like, it's, you know what it is? It kind of reminds me of, I believe it was The Thing, right? Where, I forgot which version. I don't believe it was the first version. It was one of the remakes, right? In the beginning, I don't know if you know about The Thing, right? But, do you know anything about that movie? Okay, it's really funny. I believe it was Russian, right? And in the beginning of the movie, two men who speak Russian, because they're in Russia, right, come out and are talking to the Americans or whoever, and I say, because I haven't seen the film, but I know this much. And they're saying in Russian, they're saying, you know, and they don't get, obviously, they don't know Russian. I think the guys either died or they shot them freaking out because they had guns. Point is that they were near a dog. Right, and the dog is like, oh, cute little doggy. That dog was the shifter. That dog was the thing. If you knew Russian, the entire movie was spoiled for you. They said, it's the dog. It's the dog. Kill the dog.
Ah.
So it's a thing where it's like, damn it, if only what I knew what the barrel thing said, I would have known, shifter. I would have known. Right? It's like one of those situations where it's just, damn it. But you obviously can't, which is what sucks, because, again, looking back at it later, you're like, damn it. You know, it's like, I should have known. Also, the binary code says, put all six pieces together. And
that's
then a
reference to some stuff that happened in terms of the game / like the shorts, I believe.
Oh,
because
dear.
There were some pages that came out over the summer.
Right.
With that crazy, bloody cross mark off the eye?
Right. Well, that's frightening. And we'll probably get to that in the future episodes, because sadly we're running out of time. On a cryogenic tube section, journal number 3, there's a cipher that says, am I me? Is he me? Which is like, damn it. On the following page, it says, ice, baby. And then there's a page section, and on the left, it's all numbers, right? And it says, improper use of machinery could lead to utter catastrophe. So, there's a chance he may have been let loose somehow, the shifter.
You like
and sadly,
things, don't you?
Yes, sadly, that is all the time we have today. But thank you guys for listening to those guys. And Sish, say something funny.
No, for Sish, say something stupid.
Why don't you? No, that's not fair. Paul Heyman called himself a Jew tonight.
I didn't get to watch Raw. Paul Heyman called himself the Jew tonight?
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
sounds better if you say the word rock.